right.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings. Keith didn't step on the intro this time, so I'm having a great, great start to this episode. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Keith. I didn't mess this up.
I'm Jack, and I'm pretty much always good.
Fair enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today's episode is brought to you as per the huge by Taurus USA and Guns.com. If you'd like to buy the fine firearms made by Taurus USA, you can go to Guns.com and do that. They ship straight to your FFL. You go, you fill out a little paperwork, you pay them some money, you buy a box of ammo because they make better margins on ammo than they do on guns, and then you walk out the door, and it's fantastic. I should point out, if you're an FFL dealer and you don't like doing transfers, you're dumb because you make 100% margin on a transfer. Anyway, yeah. Moving on to today's episode. So last week we talked about CNR, Curio and Relics, and that got me thinking about, like, there was a whole era of gunfighters before we had Glocks and Berettas and, you know, what we kind of think of as high-quality modern semi-autos. So to frame out this question, it's 1975. You are a cop, you're a security guard that's protecting some sort of high risk asset. Like, you know, back then they robbed armored trucks like on the reg. So
no. I wasn't saying that security guards didn't need good guns. I was saying that's just not the side of things I would be right on.
Or you're no. Jack and you're
this is before fingerprinting is not that great back then. DNA, break bad, son. You drop me into 1975, I'm gonna be running Harlem in 2 days.
Do you ever wonder, as a side note, like, especially like really in the olden days, like the 1800s, how they ever caught criminals? Did people just like walk up and be like, hey, I did some crimes, and then they got arrested? Like,
I
think they did a lot of crime and then eventually one got them.
Yeah.
The thing that caught criminals back then is actually the thing that catches criminals now.
Word of mouth.
DNA, fingerprinting, things like that. That is about convicting a person of a crime.
Evidence.
Conviction and catching are two very different things.
Fair point.
And they both equally represent the people in matters of law enforcement. Two separate but equal groups. The police who enforce the laws and the prosecutors.
Didn't you know that whole thing by heart?
I watched a lot of fucking Law and Order SVU.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so, yeah, it's all investigated. 90% of catching a person is somebody talks to somebody, you start putting stuff together, and I will say they're really great investigators and they're really bad investigators, and the type of investigation all comes down to how they do their job. And if you want the best explanation for what is a natural-born investigator, go watch Wire Season 1. They show it. They show guys who are bad at the job, they show guys who are okay at the job, they show guys who are great at the job, and how they do it. And it's also some of the best television that's ever been made. Guys, they're not going to be making good television for a while. So go watch some old stuff.
Hey, I hope you guys like really crappy reality shows, because that's what we're getting for the next 2 years.
That's what you're getting. I'm watching The Sopranos.
Yeah, I'm just watching reruns. Let's not talk about the writer's strike, because people are, or the actor's strike, or whichever people are striking, because then we'll get weird comments. And I don't want weird comments. I want weird comments from our listeners about the stuff we talk about. So it's 1975. You are plotting an armored truck heist if you're Jack, or you're guarding the armored truck, or you're a cop or whatever. And what is the best duty gun of the era? And I've been thinking about this question for a hot minute because your options are not great. I mean, well, let me phrase that.
And if you're like, of course they are. There's the CZ-75. Sorry, that started production in 1976. That's out.
Get out. I specifically picked 1975 to avoid any high-quality DASA guns. Well, and now somebody's going to be like, but the Walther P1. Okay, that can be your choice, and you're wrong.
Yep.
there we go. So here's my choice. And this isn't going to surprise a single living soul that listens to this show. It's a revolver. Specifically, it is a revolver that started production in 1975 and is the Ruger Security 6. And I would get a Security 6 with a 4-inch barrel, and I would have Davis Gunworks or Gun Shop in Sacramento, California, do an action job on that gun, and I would carry that thing with the FBI load, 158 grain lead semi-wad cutter hollow points, and that would be it. That's my gun. I'd get a friggin' belt full of Safariland Comp 2s because those shits existed back then, and I'm done. I'm done. I have my duty gun. I have a gun that will last me an entire lifetime. It will put bullets right where I want them. And if it was good enough for Uncle Pat to fucking kill guys with in New York, then it is good enough for me. Tell me I'm wrong. That's an appeal. By the way, the Uncle Pat reference is an appeal to authority, and I'm not even ashamed of it.
It's not a wrong appeal to authority.
Yeah, no.
It's not wrong. But I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with you. It's not wrong, but I don't agree with you. You see, I wake up in my flop house at the crack of noon, roll over, press check my 5-inch 1911, holster that into my shoulder rig.
Of course.
That I haven't stopped wearing since the night before. Then usher the hookers out. Get dressed. Pick up my Browning High Power, slide that into the front of my pants with no holster, throw on a Hawaiian shirt, get into my Corvette, and drive. Oh, that Corvette only has 300 horsepower. I do not care. Drive directly to the gun store, walk in with all intents and purposes of purpose to buy a couple of shotguns to cut down for reasons yet to be mentioned. And lay my eyes upon the Sig Sauer P220 that has just come out this year.
Oh.
An amazing offering of an all-steel framed, double-action, single-action, 45 caliber handgun with good sights, a great trigger, and now I no longer have to carry two guns. And I throw those bad boys into a green army duffel. Pick up my SIG 220, slide it into my Galco Combat Master holster. That I don't think that was out at the time, but in my head, I still have one. Two spare magazines on the opposite side of the belt, and pick up a Smith & Wesson Model 19 Snubby for the ankle rig, and I'm just going to call it a day from there.
The P220, a curse on SIG Sauer's name.
Jack took my SIG. Yeah. My SIG from me.
I googled what guns came out in 1975.
I forgot about that one.
Oh, I saw it on the list. I was like, he doesn't know the answers right here. But there are a lot of great options. Yeah. I mean,
there were solidly built handguns back in the day, and in the 220 is an excellent example of the design. The high power is a good example of the design. Even 1911, as long as you got that thing working, was a good example of the design of what, you know, stuff was capable of at that point in time.
What's crazy is this was...
So I'm just going to go get a full-auto M16 because it's not 1984 yet.
Yeah, this is the time before the Gun Control Act of 86. Go buy machine guns.
Yeah, if you're talking like...
Bolt and enjoy life with my 7-pound full-auto in 5.56.
If you're talking about, like, what is the loadout for 1975 for me, it is 100% the SIG 220... and an Uzi.
All right. Keith, what's your loadout? All right. So you can have Jack's 220. Give me your rifle too.
Yeah, it's going to be the 220 and definitely a Colts 601 select fire. good old 20-inch M16. Going to go do some work with that.
You really do that when you could get a Beretta AR-70?
Yes. Yes, I do.
A full auto AR-70?
It's good either way, but if
I'm doing rifles, AR-18. AR-18 with that 40-round magazine in it, because like me little Armalite, roll up on me.
The AR-18. All right, so we've got that. I'm looking at stuff that kind of came out through the era.
FNC. That was a little later. So can't do an FNC.
Oh, but you could do an HK-41 because that came out in 64.
Oh, that one's good too. I've shot that one.
Transferable machine guns. If I'm carrying a wheel gun, I'm gonna want firepower and volume. I'm getting an MP5 as my long gun. Like, that's the
another good one.
Like, so I'm rocking an MP5, but it has no stock on it, and I'm shooting it pressed out against the sling.
I feel like the MP5, it was out in 1975. I feel like you're like, it's not as culturally cool then yet. You're way ahead of it.
Yeah, if I'm rocking a suppressed MP5 with no stock, shooting it pressed out against the sling in 1975, I am setting the trend. I am on the fucking cutting edge of cool guns. Right, like,
you're in Hereford at the time.
Like. Yeah, that's actually probably true when you think about it. You're
the guy.
Yeah, you're there.
You're either there or you're in damn next funny Virginia, accents. So
and big mustache.
Shotguns. Remington 1100, at the same time period. Ithaca 37.
Oh,
we got the 870. Just chopped.
Oh,
God. Yeah, the chopped Ithaca 37, which the first time you pick up an Ithaca 37, you feel like someone's playing a trick on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, hold on, wait a second. Where do you...
It all comes from one spot. I will say this, if we are, you know,
I eject from there. No,
not right now. You don't.
Wrong hole.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God. I will say this, if I wanted to carry a submachine gun that was actually cool at the time, because again, that MP5 would have been ahead of the thing, MAC-10.
I have a lot of fun memories with a MAC-10.
I do too. I had a MAC-10. I had a full rock and roll MAC-10, and I tell you, that gun is completely uncontrollable. It's fully automatic fire.
Yeah,
it was meant to be controllable. It was meant to make the noise and the happy.
It does.
Well, it was meant to surprise a room full of colonels.
Yeah. Or that would make
the noise and the happy, not for the colonels, but
it's Oh man, I should buy a MAC-10. You know what I could get? Okay, I've got my loadout because they were available and transferable. An M2 carbine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. Great option. An M2 carbine and a 38 special revolver. Holy fuck, I'd carry that tomorrow. Are you kidding me?
You can do that work. Yes.
What a great choice that would be.
Can we see a comeback to 30 carbine? Like,
right? That is a cartridge that... Well, because we're doing all of these like straight wall heavy magnum cartridges, and I'm all, let's make, you know what, hang on. Dear Brett, that's my boss at Taurus, in case you guys didn't know, we should make a 30 carbine revolver on the Raging Hunter platform.
Oh man, that would slap.
That would be really cool. Like that with that 10-inch barrel that we've got. Yeah. That would be dope. And then what we should do is we should take one of our we just released this new gun, the Rossi Brawler, right? So it's a single shot, that sort of thing. We should make one of those in 30 carbine, but with like a 11-inch barrel and a stock, and thread that barrel for a can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, like, I got these ideas and they're all great, and four people would buy these guns. But anyway, So we've all
discussed. Those four people will have a great time with him. Three of them are in this chat.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we know the other ones. So this is one of the problems, right? Like, we were like, oh, this code would be so cool. The three of us all would
run. For us.
And then we would know, and we know the other seven people. Like, we're just, yeah. We have a distro list. We're like, hey, we had a crazy idea again.
Hey, have made the niche gun you guys want.
Oh, man. So the last thing we're going to talk about is completely unrelated to this, but I've been thinking about this and I wanted to talk to you guys about it because, you know, as everybody knows, you know, first off, all of our 1975 loadouts are fire. 1975 guns. And oh, we're all, and like, if you're like a cop or a guard, you're wearing like knee high boots, even though you're not on the motorcycle squad, with a fucking leather jacket. And you look amazing. Oh, and you've got fucking fingerless leather gloves, and you look like you're ready to fuck someone's day up, because you are.
A whole vibe to that whole thing.
And your back pocket has a sap in it that you only ever hit people with the edge of, not the flat part. Oh, man. Anyway.
We here at Gun Day Brunch do not condone 1970s cop beatings.
No, not at all. We value all of your civil rights, every last one of them. They're all very important.
Every single one of them.
However,
laugh about it.
The non-1975 thing that I wanted to talk about, because that's been on my mind, is, you know, every firearms brand influencer community, you know, you're shadow banned on Instagram now, right? Your content goes against their recommended content guidelines and can only be shown to your, you know, to your followers. I remember a time.
Point of order.
Yes.
My clients aren't.
Your clients aren't. I know. And there are ways to manage that. There are things you can do to get around it. If you would like to pay Jack money to not have to deal with that, fantastic. I think you should.
Hey, Gap Marketing money?
Which
Gap Marketing
Jack.
Gives me the money.
Right. So anyway, but I also am old enough to remember a time when we didn't have an algorithm to recommend content. Like, everybody here in this chat remembers Follow Fridays on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying we should bring Follow Fridays back, because that's kind of cringy, but if you are a medium or any size content creator, take time out of your content creation schedule to recommend other accounts that you follow. Post their ads, post their handles, do that, so that, because your followers will see those posts and they may not follow this other account. So if there's something, so we need to, you know, I hate to say as a community, but as a community, we need to get back to a place of recommending other people's content. And I want people to understand that success as a content creator is not a zero-sum game. If you have success or someone else has success, they are not taking bites of the success pie that you can never get, okay? It is not
a much bigger pie.
It's the pie is so big, all right? There's what, 10 million gun owners in the United States, okay? If you have 10,000 followers and you recommend another account, I guarantee that that other account will be like, oh, thanks, I picked up 5 or 10 or 15 followers from it, you know, which is tough to do if you're not paying a company like Gap Marketing to help you not be shadow banned. But that's kind of where we're at with organic growth in the firearm space right now.
Is you can see it in other spaces. You see it work in other spaces. Mm-hmm. I follow a lot of like movie review spaces and, you know, TV show review spaces, and these guys shout each other out all the time just because they're kind of in the same space. They work well with each other. They don't, it's not like a hive mind where they all agree on the same thing, but they're all working in the same space and they're working together, and they get together, have discussions. And you have guys who have no following get boosted very strongly because they interact positively in the space. They don't necessarily agree on everything, but they interact positively in the space. They get the shout out and away it goes. And then all of a sudden they have a strong channel, strong following. We need to get back to doing that here.
Absolutely. I'll say this. I, for one, I recommend Threat Llama and Rebels Raiders and CBRN Art. Those three accounts on Instagram are fantastic accounts. Some are really humorous. They all do great artwork. And sometimes there's good information, but mostly I just get a good chuckle out of them. CBRN is mostly good information, but the other two are chuckle factories that are absolutely worth following.
Yeah, absolutely. Today, so for you guys, obviously, so it's a Friday that we're recording this. I'm going to finish this and I'm going to go do a reel and I'm going to recommend one account just because I don't want to be like, all right, here's 28 accounts for you to follow. Here's one account that you may or may not follow. Here's why I follow them. Here's why I like them. And you should go follow them too. And if you don't, okay. If you do, fantastic. That makes everybody's day better. And with that, I think we've all had a grand day. So I think that's a wrap on this episode. What I would love from you guys, though, post your 1975 loadouts in the comments. All right. Guns, long guns, what round are you carrying?
You can do two, guys. Do a practical one and then just wild out with one.
Your wild out loadout and your practical loadout. I mean, yeah, just post that in the comments, and thank you.
That definitely has a Colt monitor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I saw that the FN Mini-Me came out in 1975, and I'm like, how could I get a transferable 249? So anyway, guys, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you, everyone, for liking, sharing, subscribing. Make sure you hit that notification bell on YouTube to get notified when a new episode drops. Someone said that I should do these bumps at the start of the episode, but I'm not going to because that is cringe. And if you're listening to us on iTunes or Spotify, please go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. Helps boost us up in that algorithm because we haven't been shadow banned there yet. That's it. Talk to you guys next week.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this. Even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.